This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com.
Hey everybody, it's Stacy from Must Do Disney, and you are in the place to be, the Disney Nerds Podcast. Check it out.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 245 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show.
On this week's show, it's all about the trip reports. As you know, three of us were just down in Walt Disney World and just got back. We were down there mainly over the 4th of July weekend, before and after that. Before we start, though, let's introduce who's on the show. First of all, we have Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy, how's it going?
Hello. How's everybody doing tonight?
Doing good. Now, unfortunately, Jimmy was the only one that didn't make it down with us this time. But since he's going to be going in about a month or two, this is a good opportunity for him to get ready for his next trip and to keep us all on track. Think he could do that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Along with Jimmy, we have Morgan. Hey, Morgan, how's it going?
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
Doing well. Doing well. Now, Morgan was down for the 4th of July. It wasn't a big trip, but it was a special trip, and that was she was down for her birthday. How'd that go?
That was good. Every year I go for my birthday, and every year I am reminded why I go, because that's one of my favorite trips to do.
Excellent. Very cool. Can't wait to hear about it. Along with Morgan and Jimmy, we also have Sam. Hey, Sam, how's it going?
I'm hooked on a feeling.
Hooked on the Guardians 2 soundtrack, sounds like.
Guardians Live. Awesome mix. It was awesome. What are you talking about? That was great.
I like it. I like it.
Very I've cool. now got it playing in my head.
Ooga, chugga, ooga, ooga. All right, I'll stop. What's going on, man? What a crazy week. 4th of July, Toy Story Land opens. Everything's just hot. It's, you know, Florida, but it was a great time, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Oh, no, not at all. And also, just kind of as a coincidence, we're recording on Thursday night this week. Hollywood Studios, we just heard, or it's been reported, that it's been closed. They closed it due to an HVAC building issue, I think was what we heard so far.
No power. That's kind of okay. It brings up so many questions. What did they do to people on the coasters? And I don't know, but okay.
Oh, we'll find all about it. But the point is they closed the park, sent everybody out, and told them they can go to whatever park they wanted to. So kind of a nice treat, I guess.
I think that's great. If you're someone who did, imagine you're there. I mean, it happened in the evening time. What if you got there this morning? You were pretty much done with the park anyway, but you didn't have a hopper, and now you do.
Yep. Oh, no yeah. Doubt. No yeah. Doubt. And I tell you what, hoppers are really cool to have, but that is one of those money-saving things. I think it's about $70 a ticket, $75 a ticket. And if you can plan your trip out to stay in one park each day, it's big savings.
Yeah.
But we don't usually do that.
No.
Not due to planning, just because we like the ease of being able to go wherever we want, whenever we want. And I tell you what, this trip had a lot of that. We did a lot of planning beforehand, but there was a lot of things going on, so we were very, very loose with the plans. We were able to get flexible and do a lot of different things. Now, the main thing I think we're going to have to talk about right away is the new Toy Story Land in Hollywood Studios. For those of you guys who've been following us for a while and followed us the last couple weeks, you saw Sam do an incredible job down there, getting some incredible interviews with some of those great cast members and Imagineers, and tell us all about it in that pre-opening day. Thanks a lot, Sam. That was awesome.
It was incredible between Clay Shoemaker and Pam Rawlings and Chef Robert. Just amazing. The information that they gave us, giving us a little bit behind the scenes and what's happening in the whole Andy's backyard. That's what Toy Story Land is. Oh, Andy's no backyard.
And the interview with the chef, it was classic when you actually got to eat the sandwich, let alone looking at it.
Yeah, I will say I learned a couple of things there for those of you that watch the video. I took way too big of a bite. That's number one. I've learned now.
Right.
If you're being interviewed and they ask you to try something, you should take a small bite, not like the whole thing. And they also allowed me to eat the rest of it after the interview. So that was pretty cool.
Oh, nice. Very cool. Very cool.
But I could see why you'd want to take a big bite because it did look good.
And it was that. And you know what? Why don't we start right there and talk about Andy's Lunchbox, which is part of Toy Story Land. Andy's Lunchbox is the counter service. I will call it a counter service, but there's really only two windows opening up to it. Andy's Lunchbox has some really good, the whole flavor of it, or the feel for it, is this is Andy's backyard. He took his lunchbox, he opened it up. He used the thermos to prop it up. And by the way, the thermos is the popcorn bucket, which is really cool. And there's things like gum stuck to the top of it. And you can see inside the lunchbox are the Tupperware containers where his mom put the berries in one of them. And the other one has the grapes. And there's some animal crackers in the top and Baby Bell cheese. And it's just it's incredible, the theming here.
Right.
It's amazing.
Now, I tell you what, you said the Baby Bell cheese. And I wanted to make that point real quick. Boy, was that everywhere. Now, if you don't know, Baby Bell is the sponsor of the Toy Story Land. Plus, they are the official cheese sponsor, I believe, of Walt Disney World. I think I heard that.
Sure. Mentioned. Cheese sponsor. Absolutely.
They're big cheese.
Mickey's the big cheese. They're feeding the big cheese. Maybe
they are Mickey's cheese of choice.
I was about to say, if Mickey had to pick a cheese at this moment, it would be a Baby Bell cheese.
Yes, it would.
There you go. Here's the one thing I loved about this. Were a couple of things. When I did the live video with merchandise, I asked, where can I buy the lunchbox? Because I want that lunchbox. I mean, who doesn't want it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Give me that. And merchandise, I don't know if it's coming or if they dropped the ball on it, but they kind of said, well, I'll look forward to that later. But here's the coolest part I loved about this. When you look at the lunchbox and it's propped and swung open and it's held up by the thermos, underneath it, you can see sort of the 3D etching of the image that's on the other side. Yeah. So for Jimmy Ed, when we took lunchboxes, they were tin and they were stamped.
Yep.
You can see what's stamped on it, and it's Woody's Roundup, and it's just really cool, and I'd love to have that thing.
Yeah, very nice, very nice. There was a lot of those type of things throughout Toy Story Land, those really small details that made you believe you were in the backyard of Andy's house.
And it wasn't just the small details. There are some amazing details where one of the – everything around his lunchbox and all the tables and chairs he made out of things that came out of his lunchbox. And one of them was a note that he used for a tabletop. And the note was from his mom. And it's awesome because it's made out of Kinex and things like that. But the piece of paper he used is the note that his mom left in his lunchbox that says, "You're my favorite deputy. Love, Mom." And I just thought that was great.
Yeah, it is a really cool detail.
Now every mom has to write that in their kid's lunchbox once those kids go to Toy Story Land.
Absolutely. And you know what? You would miss it if you weren't looking for it. There's a sheriff badge that he drew, and everything came out of that lunchbox. The Baby Bell cheeses he's using his chairs. The theming is great. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was great looking at the picture, and I'm sure we'll show the picture in the show notes of the Woody's Roundup. Is the menu is basically a juice box that's the nutritional facts, and that's where the menu for the restaurant is.
Yep, absolutely.
It looks perfect.
Yeah, it looks like the side of a juice box.
And speaking of the menu, the sandwich that I tasted was the brisket sandwich, which was really good. But I got to say, I love the Monte Cristo. The Monte Cristo is it's turkey and a ham with cheese and raspberry. You wouldn't think that would go well, but it's perfect. It matches perfectly. And that's my favorite thing there.
Oh yeah.
And I'm glad you got to try that, because I was curious about that when you were talking to the chefs and they were describing all the foods, which I'm telling you, my mouth started watering watching those videos. I was going to ask you how the raspberry works. So it's good that you tried it and you're giving your stamp of approval on that.
It worked great because it blended right in with the cheese and it was really good.
Very cool.
I don't know. I'm very, very looking at the menu and just all the different things we've seen about it. The tachos probably excite me the most.
They were good. The tachos.
So they're basically loaded nachos. They're
loaded tots. Potato barrels.
Yeah.
So apparently you're not allowed to say tater tots and you're not allowed to say Fritos.
Hmm.
But both of those things are in this. But they are potato barrels with corn chips and sauce and cheese and other good things.
My only concern is that I typically am not a fan of eating outside.
Oh, that is true. All the seating is outside.
Yeah,
all the seating is outside. Absolutely.
With very little cover. They have some umbrellas, but still not as much cover as you would have thought.
I do
know. Not at all.
Different sized beers there.
You're going to have to make an exception to the rule for this, though, Jimmy.
Well, I'm not saying I won't get some tachos and carry it on over to, like, you know, ABC or someplace I can go inside and eat.
To the line for Slinky Dog. That's where you can take it.
It's a surprise. And, Ed, you can vouch for this. It's a surprisingly long walk from the lunchbox to ABC Commissary.
Yeah, you're not going to want to get the tachos or anything like that and walk over to ABC, because first of all, it's going to smell so good that it's not going to make it.
Right, and you're right. It is a long walk.
That's a good point.
It's longer than you think, because this is all the way at the deepest point inside of Toy Story Land. The only thing past it, in fact, is the restrooms. Which we'll talk about in a second, right, as far as the cooties in the restrooms.
Now, so give me some sort of idea of the complete layout of this.
Well,
will it eventually connect to Star Wars Land?
Yes.
Sure.
It is the exit from Star Wars Land as planned. So your entrance to Galaxy's Edge Black Spire will be over by Muppet Vision and the
it's right by Baseline Tap House.
The old Avenues
by Baseline Tap House.
Yeah, it's
Muppet Courtyard.
It was Streets of America. It was Streets of America. Now it's Grand Avenue. Grand Avenue is your entrance, and Toy Story Land will be the exit. At least that's what the plan is initially. For Galaxy's Edge, you'll go in, you'll queue in the one way and then come out the other way.
Right, supposedly.
So as you exit, the first thing on your right will be a restroom and the second thing will be a counter service.
There you go.
Exactly. Now, I tell you what, you bring up Galaxy's Edge, which was perfect because, and it was funny because it took about 2 weeks before I saw an article that actually talked about this. One of the best things we saw when we were on the Slinky Dog roller coaster was an incredible view of Star Wars Land. Now, I know I don't want to distract with too much about that, but it was incredible and it's huge and there's just so much over there. Boy, I can't wait for that.
I think that, Ed, a couple of shows ago when you and I were walking through, I commented that I couldn't help but stand in this brand new Toy Story Land, which is absolutely beautiful, themed wonderfully, but just stare into Black Spire and go, oh man.
Oh yeah. Yep. It is going to be great.
I took an Uber while we were down in, you know, June, and the route they took us right by the border of Black Spire, and you can see a lot of stuff in there.
Oh yeah. No, and it's kind of funny because they do have in the park itself, you can't see any of it. They've got these big trees now at the end of Pixar Place, that street down there, that are just like, you know, 30 feet tall and you really can't see past them, or else they have them on stands or something. So they do have it covered up pretty well, and I was really surprised that we got such a great view from over there.
It almost is away from riding the coaster a little bit, the fact that You know, you're not paying. You're not really paying attention to the coaster. You're trying to peek over and see what's going on in Star Wars.
Which I was doing, Jimmy, and I shouldn't have been. And yeah. I knew it because Slink Dog is it's a great attraction. It
actually gives a good roller coaster. Kids are gonna love it. However, you know, it's one of those roller coasters for an adult. It's kind of like Seven Dwarves Mine Train, where it's not a thrill coaster, but it is actually a little bit better than mine and the Seven Dwarves. I think it is a little bit more exciting.
There's a couple of exceptions I'll give you compared to Seven Dwarves Mine Train. Number one, my butt fits in the seat.
There you go.
Bonus.
Seven Dwarves Mine Train is cramped.
That's a solid complaint about Seven Dwarves.
I fit in the seat in Slink Dog for sure.
My second complaint about Seven Dwarfs Mine Train would be that it's too short. Did they fix it on this?
Yeah, I didn't think it was that short a ride. It's actually kind of nice because midway through it, you actually kind of stop for a second or two. I don't know if this is going to ruin it for anybody. Do we need to be...
spoiler alert, maybe a little bit. No, you know what? If you're listening to the show, you've already watched a point of view on ride thing, I'm pretty sure.
So you start out...
You have not? Jimmy has not. Okay.
I know what Ed's about to say, and I'm okay with that. I haven't watched a whole video because I'm waiting to experience it. But I know what Ed's about to say, and I'm okay with that part.
Right, yeah. Now, as far as the roller coaster goes, excuse me, the line is pretty cool. It's a lot of things to do online. We kind of breeze through it. Once you get up
which is, by the way, a mistake because there's tons to see. We'll get back to it in a minute.
And that's always how that is with those things.
Yeah.
Fast pass and stuff. And you basically get to the loading area. You load it. And then you come out of the station with a pretty good clip. You come up and over a hill and you go down and you kind of go around a little bit. And it seems like you're getting speed up. You're going up a hill, coming back down, but then you stop. You're stopping through this starting area, and it's kind of similar to the old Matchbox or Hot Wheels start area where you're going to shoot something out, where you're loaded with a spring, actually.
And a spring or a rubber band. That's what I remember.
Yep.
Is it a rubber band or a gum band? It depends where I am.
Yeah, true.
What do you guys call it?
Well, tennis shoes or sneakers. It's the same thing. Popper soda.
Rubber band.
It's a rubber band.
Rubber band, gum band. Either way, but you got to crank the thing back and then let it go.
Which is cool because guess what? The ride actually goes backwards, and it's backwards going click. I can't remember now if it's clicking or I added that to my own. But it basically backs it up, and then you stop. The spinners start spinning left and right of you, and then you shoot out.
The flame spinners that you see on the left and right, which I remember those as a kid. That's how they made fire. Those things kind of spun around in a circle.
Which I don't understand fire and Slinky Dog, but we're going to let that go with Andy's imagination.
Well, no. Andy combined this with that slot car track and took the Slink Dog out and pulled them together. So, okay. Yep. Sure.
So there's no loops in the roller coaster, but you got some really, really good curves. You got some great up and downs, and you've got some great scenery as you're going around. But the best part is the end. Tell me why, Sam.
Absolutely. It's wheezy. It's wheezy. You've got a friend in me. It's absolutely it's a wonderful outdoor animatronic. This is one where – I've been on this multiple times, and sometimes you kind of go right through here, and other times you kind of sit for a minute or two while they're loading and unloading the car in front of you, and I'm fine with sitting there watching Wheezy sink.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was great.
They also have
it's great because they actually kind of previewed that Wheezy was going to be there with the Disney Parks blog. They did a video, which we shared on our Facebook page, so it's really cool to kind of see that in person now.
Oh, no doubt.
I saw something cool today, and I didn't realize where it was until Sam just brought up this picture, which, again, we'll show the pictures in the show notes. But, Sam, can you zoom in on that barcode?
On the barcode?
See the
the barcode up here on the dash. Hold on. I'm looking to see if I have another picture of it, because I'm sure that I do.
Two Easter eggs on that barcode.
There are Easter eggs all over this thing, by the way.
So on the right, you have 10/1/1971.
So yeah,
that's the barcode number he's reading right there.
Yep.
10/1/1971. It's when Walt Disney World opened.
October 1st, 1997 might have been.
10/1/1971. I got it.
And then on the left, it's 2/3/1986. That was when Pixar was founded.
Nice.
And Emeryville, California, is that a Pixar location, maybe?
That is Pixar's headquarters.
There you go.
Absolutely. That's Pixar's headquarters, and I love it.
So that's
good. And then in addition to that, there are so many other little things that you can find through here, whether it's just the fact that it's the Dash and Dodge Mega Coaster Kit, because the Dash and Dodge kit is what he used. It's the box that's above the load unload. That's what he used to undo and create this this coaster.
That's so cool. Mm-hmm.
There are also some great other things. You can see Partly Cloudy is one of the books in the queue. I'm going to go back to one other picture in the queue for a second because I think this one's great. Now, and since we're talking about some of those
and guys,
little Easter eggs.
To get an idea of what we're looking at, just imagine Toy Story Mania. Inside there, all his toys were kind of thrown around, the games, the books and such like that. Exactly the same thing, what we're looking at. But what's cool is there's so much more of it to kind of like look for.
In the Fast Pass queue, the Tyrannosaurus Rex box, fully posable, snap-together plastic figure kit, is Rex. And he looks ferocious. And we all know that Rex isn't ferocious. But one of the things that I love the best about this is the sticker that's on the box. Because the sticker is Owl's Toy Barn, which is amazing. We'll get to more of that in a second. But the price, Jimmy, to one of your Easter eggs?
$19.95.
The year, which is the same reason that Lightning McQueen's number 95. That's the year that Pixar was that's the year the Toy Story came out.
Now they have 11/22 on that also. So November.
Is it 11/22?
It was probably.
You know
why?
That's a quick Google.
Yeah, I'm googling that as we speak.
That's just great. I love that box. I love the price tag because it looks like price tags that you and I have taken off of so many toys when we were kids.
Well, this could be something for our next trip down. Is actually let's see how many of these Easter eggs we can find.
I feel like you could. I mean, in a way, you could actually. You don't want to skip the rides, but you could actually spend time in Toy Story Land without going on the rides, just looking at those little details on those Easter eggs. And by the way, 11/22/1995, opening day of Toy Story.
Yeah, there you go. 11/22/1995. Love it.
Now, there are other rides in Toy Story Land. We're spending a lot of time on the roller coaster because it is the main ride there. However, we do have two rides.
There's other rides?
There are. There
is it the main ride?
Now, we've been watching, and it's kind of funny, being nerds, we've been watching the wait times from the day this park opened until presently, and it's always been a lot of time on this one, and not so much on the other Toy Story Land rides. So, first of all, let's talk about Toy Story Mania. The pre-existing attraction used to be here all the time, was the only ride. It has been reopened. The entrance is now on the backside and very well done.
Well, or the back is the front now.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
I feel like a Jungle Cruise pun should be put there somewhere.
The backside of Toy Story Mania.
Yep.
I like it.
And there's a whole new loading queue inside and a bunch of different things to see. But the ride itself is still pretty awesome.
My shoulder hurts when I get off of that thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, especially the second time through.
Yes.
Interesting in that now entering Toy Story Mania, which, by the way, the name of this attraction changed. Did you guys notice? Toy Story Midway Mania? It's not Toy Story Mania.
Gotcha.
So they changed the name. Toy Story Midway Mania, of course, coming from the Midway, which is when it was replicated from California Adventure on the Midway, which is now Pixar Pier. That's a whole other story. But Toy Story Mania is a game box. You can see that Andy has opened the box because, remember, we've been shrunk to the size of toys. We're in his backyard. He's opened the box. He started to put it together. As you go through the new queue, you're going to find pieces that he's assembled, that he's taken apart, that he started to put together for us. So what he's done here is – while he's building it, you can see the different game pieces. He's punched out Wheezy, for example. So Wheezy has been punched out, and he's put it in the little figure stand. There are other places where Buzz Lightyear's Flying Tossers game, you can see that he's taken some pieces apart, started to put it together. But the whole theme in the backyard is, while he was out there playing, his mom called him in. you know, Andy, it's time to come in. It's time to eat. It's time to do whatever. So he went in the house and left all of his toys on, which is why some of the toys talk to each other out there. He ran across, which is why you see his footprints in the ground. And that's also why the army men immediately have gone on the lookout for Andy to return while all of the toys play in the backyard. So it's kind of cool the way that all of that ties together.
Oh, no doubt.
And now, I just like the little details with the cardboard when the Andy's cut out. That yep. When you look on the side, it really does look like cardboard.
It does. And if you touch it, it's like, wow, this is kind of cool. there's more examples of that throughout. So there's some of the pop-outs and some of the – you can tell some he popped out and some he has. And it's really cool.
And it's pretty cool because it all matches the actual ride itself. So the characters you see at the end when you get awarded those special characters, well, it makes more sense now because it's part of the game.
Absolutely. And we also saw the return of Mr. Potato Head in the queue for Toy Story Mania, which was really cool to see again.
Oh, definitely.
It's a great queue. You know, when we talk about we've had the conversation about great, just different great ride queues in Walt Disney World. You know, this one doesn't always immediately come to mind, but I think maybe it should.
And now, especially because they've definitely rethemed this and changed it. It's a different queue than it used to be. Yeah.
Before we get any further, too, you brought up a good point because my first instinct was it's a great queue, but it's not too interactive. Now, once I say that, one of the big themes of our trips comes back up to us now in that this was the first time they introduced that new park play apps, or what's the name of the game app that Disney introduced?
Play Disney Parks. Yeah, so now, it's wow.
One of the things that stood out was that the queues are losing the interactive, I guess, part of it in lieu of this. Because the one that stood out, Jumping Parks, Space Mountain, doesn't have the games in it anymore for the standby line. Only thing I can come up with was that they're going to be pushing people to use this app as opposed to the game in there.
Well, it makes sense because you think about those games, and I've played them a little bit, but the problem with those games are is the people you have to move, and the games don't move with you.
So, well, it's interesting having played them in some of the queues at Space Mountain and at Slink Dog and at Toy Story Mania. There, while you're playing the game in the queue, there are quite a few times where it says pause and keep up with the party in front of you.
No. I mean, I'm talking about the games that were originally in Space Mountain.
The original ones, yeah.
The original ones, you have to stop and you play, and make them short. But if the line starts moving, you got to move on. So it kind of slows the line down because some people just want to sit and play. It makes sense that this is on a device that kind of – on your device that's going to move along with you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and there's going to be a lot of improvements, I'm sure, that's coming. Animal Kingdom had barely nothing while Magic Kingdom was loaded with different activities. It came with music for the iPhone owners that you could play from each of the parks and the different location you were at. It definitely has a lot of potential. Just don't think it was ready yet. And at one point, Disney was telling us that we should be using our cell data as opposed to using the Wi-Fi if we wanted to use it.
Yes. Right? For optimum experience, you should switch to your cell data. The place where I saw that specifically was doing Agent P in Epcot.
Okay.
So they're admitting that the Wi-Fi sucks.
To enjoy this experience to the fullest, please use your cell phone.
But even so, saying that, this trip, I did notice Wi-Fi was pretty strong most places I did go. Not like usual. Magic Kingdom was pretty good basically everywhere. Animal Kingdom, not so much. Maybe Epcot's got some walking areas that it's hard to cover. But I think they definitely have up their game on the Wi-Fi in the parks.
I think part of it is not necessarily that the Wi-Fi itself sucks, because a lot of times if you're sitting in one spot, it's fine. I think the biggest issue is the range on Wi-Fi is only so far. So as you're moving, you have to, you know, one router will drop you and you have to wait for the other one to pick you up. And
hotspot to hotspot.
Yeah, you go on hotspot to hotspot, and it just causes issues. So I think that's part of the problem, too, is that the range just isn't great enough to cover you everywhere you are.
A couple
more bucks.
Well, I think it's just how many people.
Yeah, well, I mean, also you've got now with Facebook Live and Instagram Live and everything like that, more than just us, you know, as the Disney Nerds podcast going live to show people, hey, this is what we're walking around, this is what we're experiencing, but anybody that wants to do that can do that. So, you know, of course, that takes a lot of bandwidth. So, I mean, there's a lot of times, like when I live stream fireworks, I take it off of Wi-Fi specifically because I don't want to lose a signal for everybody watching at home.
Yep.
Cool.
And that's what you need to do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so let's finish up Toy Story Land and then we can kind of move on to anything else. One of the other big attractions or the other big attraction in there was the, now I tell you what, it was the Alien Spinner, but it was
Alien
actually,
Spinning Saucers.
But it actually starts out with Buzz Lightyear's Alien Spinning Saucers. Yep. I saw that at the beginning.
I also, and this got brought up by one of our, by Bill, who watches the live stream with us, and we were talking about that, and you know how we use anagrams for a lot of different things, and he was mentioning it, the, you know, the abbreviation.
The acronym's not that bad. It's about as good as Monsters is.
Monsters Inc.
Yeah.
Alien Spinning Saucers.
Ass.
Or ass.
Yeah, that's all over the internet.
Yes.
Like Monsters Inc. Left 4, but that's a whole other story.
Oh, yeah. We laugh that every time.
I never heard that one before, Sam. Oh, my God. You made my day.
Oh, you're kidding. Oh, my gosh. That was the first thing we thought of when they named it. It was like nobody was looking at this acronym-wise.
I never heard that one before.
So, Alien Spinning Saucer, I mean,
we're
do we just
to put a PG-13 rating on this week's episode of the Disney Nerds podcast?
Do we just call this Mater Junkyard Jamboree on the East Coast?
No. Nope.
No, it's much easier to say ass.
It is.
So, Alien Spinning Saucer is, for all intents and purposes, Mater's Junkyard Jamboree on the East Coast. There are 8 different soundtracks, which are really cool. One of the things I did in the a couple of shows ago was just stood around and listened and let you guys hear some of the soundtrack, which are really cool. It's sort of an alien twist on classic Pixar themes. There's 8 different songs. I think I only recorded 4 of them, but it's a good attraction.
Here's another interesting interesting announcement I saw just recently is they just announced that on November 8th is when all the Christmas stuff will take place, start happening in Hollywood Studios. And it mentioned some of the stuff like the projection onto Tower of Terror. But one of the other things it mentioned is they're going to change the music tracks on the Aliens Swirling Saucers to Christmas music.
Which is good. And it actually brings up a different question that I should have asked when I was there, Jimmy. One of the big things about Cars Land in Disney's California Adventure was that when it was built, all of the Christmas stuff was pre-thought out and they just had to put the Christmas decorations up. The hooks were all hidden and they put everything up and they changed the soundtracks. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping they did the exact same thing here so that this is a seamless tie over to Christmas and they have Christmas music and theming, and that would be really cool.
Sure. I would hope so, but just because of how popular Osborne was, and you know, they took Osborne away, and all these people are upset Osborne was taken away. So hopefully, you know, they did think that through. So I'm excited to see that.
I would love to see that. So
now,
back to the.
Did you see the Easter egg on the queue in Alien?
The Easter egg in the queue. I've seen Easter eggs all over the place. So
was it the gun you're talking about?
The A113.
Oh,
no, I didn't see that.
Sure.
It is on, and honestly, I saw a picture of it. I missed it in the queue. It's on the queue, on the wall. It looks like it's a part of Buzz's packaging. I believe it's part where you split off, but it actually says A, and then another part says 113.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Tell everybody out there what that means. Go ahead.
Which, if I miss any information, somebody fill me in. But I believe that was a classroom that a lot of animators went to when they were learning before they became Imagineers.
At CalArts.
It's CalArts classroom. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. A113 is absolutely the name.
It was the animation classroom.
Right. Yep. Now, I tell you what, the other thing I was talking about, the gun, as far as an Easter egg, they have one of Buzz's guns from the Buzz ride over in Magic Kingdom. Of course, huge, because we're only toy size.
Andy has one of the guns, and he put it in his backyard.
He must have left it
there. And what he did here with this attraction is you can see the Buzz Lightyear box up on top of the queue. He took Buzz along with the alien swirling saucer set that he won at Pizza Planet, and he sort of mashed them together and came up with this attraction. Mm. A lot like Slink Dog, where he has his mega coaster – the Dash and Dodge mega coaster, which you'll see in the queue. And with that particular playset that he had, he took it and Slink Dog, which, by the way, the box for Slink Dog is in the queue. And on the box for Slink Dog, you see the other slinky things like the Slinky Frog. I remember the Slinky Frog from when I was little. So
I was saying, was there a caterpillar?
I think
there might have been a slinky
caterpillar. Yes, and I don't have that picture handy to show, but absolutely they do. The whole goal of Alien Swirling Saucer is to get captured, right? You want to be chosen. You want to be the chosen one while you're riding this. The claw, exactly, because the claw is up above you. There were a couple of other really cool things that I saw because this is from Pizza Planet, right? Mm-hmm. So sort of in the center of one of them, it looks like sort of a pizza birthday cake, which is kind of cool. And if you look another direction, it doesn't take long to look at the little circle thing with the thing around it that looks like Saturn to notice, is that a mushroom? Is that pepperoni? Yeah, Wait a minute. It's a Pizza Planet.
It's a Supreme Pizza Planet.
The Supreme Pizza
Planet. Well, that's a full color logo of Pizza Planet Pizza Place. I guess we only see the red and white silhouette normally on the car or the truck.
Also, if you look on the side, the ride vehicles, the rocket ships of pizza.
Everywhere. Yep. Very quickly before we leave, a couple of other really cool things that I saw. Other than, you know, the theming's everywhere, right? You're shrunk to this toy. You have Kinects as your rail posts. I love the exit to Toy Story Mania because as you're leaving Toy Story Mania, there's a box, a Kinect helicopter. And then as you continue down that exit, you see that the Army men are building the helicopter out of Kinects, which I thought was nice. Really cool.
The benches.
By the restroom, you find what my kids thought were just ants until I pointed out those are cooties by the restroom.
No, nice.
You get the cooties in the restroom?
The cootie bugs, you put them together. It was part of the game, wasn't it? The different colors.
It was part of the game, but the cooties are in the restroom. The cooties are on top of the restroom.
Actually, the cooties, the restrooms themselves, I remember being the only air-conditioned part of Toy Story Land.
You are absolutely right, Ed.
As weird as that was.
I went when it was overcast, so I wasn't, wasn't that big of a deal.
Maybe Tachu in the restroom.
The Tachu stand is right next to the restroom, so you're absolutely right. There is also some entertainment that happens throughout the day. So the Green Army Men are doing some entertainment. There's a Green Army Men drum line.
Right. So now it's a good idea to use that whole Where's Andy as a conversation starter if you want to with these guys based on what we're talking about before and then see if they're really on it. Because right now they don't look like they're looking for Andy.
They're looking for Andy. The Green Army Men are looking for Andy. They're making sure he doesn't come back. The only other thing I want to touch on very quickly, Ed, is merchandise.
The Buzz Lightyear.
I was hoping you'd go with merchandise. We got to talk about the merchandise.
We're going to talk merchandise. But the first thing I want to talk about is there's no gift shop when you exit any of these rides.
Weird.
Very.
What were they thinking?
I was just blown away, actually. Although if you go back to original concept art from D23 2015, there's actually Al's Toy Barn in that concept art, along with a couple of more show scenes for the Slink Dog coaster, which got eliminated, budget cuts, whatever you want to call it. So we don't have the Al's Toy Barn gift shop, although they've taken other retail merchandising places in Hollywood Studios and turned them into Toy Story stores.
You would think that would be like when you're talking about budget cuts, you would think that that would be like one of the last things they.
Yes, it's retail space. You monetize the space inside the store.
I think they went with the.
There's no gift shop, period. But in Toy Story Land.
But there are plenty of kiosks.
There are two gift carts. Yeah. There are two kiosks. A couple of things I noticed about those kiosks. They're both themed extremely well. In fact, one of them is the Play School Camper set that I know I had, and I think, Ed, you mentioned that you remember it.
Totally remember it. I had the houseboat, but I remember it.
It's a Play School set with the boat that sits on the top, and here's the theme when you talk to the Imagineers. One of them is the version that mom and dad might have had when they were younger, and the other one is the version of the same thing that their children may have had, you know, 20 years later, 25 years later, whatever the case is.
Oh, cool. The different designs. Nice.
Different designs of the same thing, and that was the merchandise cart. I don't have a really good picture of it, but it's got those sort of the Fisher-Price people that fit inside of it.
Yeah, they had the round bottoms and the round bottom fit and everything.
You got it. That's how what they had when we were – they don't have them like that anymore. They're much more articulate, I guess is what you'd call it today.
Very cool. Now, I tell you what, Toy Story Land is definitely a really good addition to Hollywood Studios. I don't think it's going to be the big bang that in the future as they plan it to be. I think it's going to be a great location for the kids to go, though, because you're going to need to get the kids to somewhere that they can really appreciate it in Hollywood Studios, and this might be the only area left.
It to me, it feels like the first outside thing at Hollywood Studios, if that makes sense. So let me say this to start. When you're in there, you sort of have outside of Galaxy's Edge, which is clearly right next to you, and they're going to put trees up and you won't see it as much. You have to sort of strain and look pretty far to find any glimpse of Hollywood Studios. And you can find the Tower of Terror if you really look for it. So you're pretty much excluded from the rest of the park, and it doesn't feel like you're in Hollywood Studios, which I guess is good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no doubt. One other Toy Story, actually, I just thought of. Are they keeping the toy store that was outside across from the original entrance to Toy Story Mania? They had that little inset place you can get a couple food and toys and stuff.
So a couple of things have changed since the opening. When it opened at number one, Pixar Place, that sign is now gone. There is no longer a Pixar Place. That's been removed from the app, from the maps, and instead it's Toy Story Land. That Hey Howdy Hey on the left-hand side, which was sort of a popcorn cart and then some other merchandise, and then past it was the meet and greet. Those were open for the first weekend, but since then they've closed both of those locations. The meet and greets have moved into Toy Story Land. Buzz Lightyear is back by the alien swirling saucer, and Woody and Jessie are now sort of where to the left of Midway Mania. And it's not Midway Mania. It's Toy Story Mania. They're to the left of that next to the stroller parking.
So it's Woody and Jessie.
Woody and Jessie, and then Buzz is someplace else.
Somebody asked that in the group the other day if you could meet Jessie, and I wasn't sure.
Yes, it's Woody and Jessie in that location and Buzz in the other. Now, I don't know if they're at the same time or if they sort of trade off.
Alternate.
I'm not exactly sure. But the big Toy Story shop is now back on Sunset Boulevard, what used to be Sweet Spells, sort of the villain bakery thing. That is no longer a bakery. That is all merchandise for Toy Story Land and The Incredibles, which ties back into The Incredible Summer, which is happening right now at Walt Disney World.
Right.
I wonder if it's going to stay that way, or the first store you come to across the way from that on the other side of the street, last time I was there, was chock full of
Star Wars
stuff.
But Star Wars, yep.
Because it was
just still is.
I think those stores are flexible. I think it's going to be flexible.
Is that going to change once, you know, once the next movie, whatever the next movie out is going to be, are they just going to rotate that? That's a pretty small.
You got to wonder.
It seems like. I mean, villains were big. It was a villain shop.
That was a Frozen shop for the Frozen summer, you know, 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, so I think it's pretty safe. That's going to stay whatever's popular.
So rotating whatever's.
Yeah.
Yeah, and why not?
Well, if you think about the signage above the door, it is like an old movie theater that can, you know, can be switched out. So, it could totally be a rotating.
Yeah, they can just change the marquee to whatever.
And I was thinking actually the other side of the street with the old Villains place.
Oh, sweet. That's all Toy Story now, yeah.
Right. Yeah, I'm thinking that'll change out a lot more. I think the one on the other side, because it is a movie theater, you're going to stay with, Star Wars, whatever big movie's coming out. And, you know, as far as Pirates might have been in there at one point. Yeah. I think it's definitely going to rotate with its material.
Very quickly, merchandise, Morgan, you mentioned anything that jumped out to you? Because there's some really cool stuff on the merchandise cart.
Well, it's funny because so when I went, it was raining. There's a little bit of lightning. So the merchandise carts themselves were actually closed. So I actually went into the shops that we just talked about to see the merchandise. And I can tell you, just walking around the parks, everybody had that Slinky Dog headband on. Even outside the parks, you know, I was in my resort and families were walking around with those headbands on.
The damn Banshees when they came out.
Yeah, which I thought that the alien headband would be the one, but no, Slinky Dog.
With the googly eyes, the alien three little googly eyes that go back and forth. Yeah,
they look good on you, Sam.
That hurts, by the way.
I believe it. I like
they got the little things in that go into people's hair, and if you don't have hair, guess what?
Ouch.
Exactly.
But the other merchandise, which I feel like, you know, if you don't get one, you're missing out, is the alien cup.
The claw cup.
I like the Buzz Lightyear. They had a Buzz Lightyear flying toy, and it was a type of toy that it was on the end of a leash, and you push the button, and it had two spinning blades on it, like helicopter blades or drone blades. And it lifted it right up, and it was flying around. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, we bought one of those the first day.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah.
They'll tell you when you press the button in and it's flying above you, it creates a nice little breeze underneath it. So you can stand under there and get some wind.
Definitely bonus.
The new fan for the summer.
The new fan for the summer. That's right. The only other thing I wanted to talk about, back to food and beverage, is the, what do they call them, the pastries, and I was a little confused early on because these look like Pop-Tarts, so I assumed they were breakfast food, but they're not. They're the dessert, and they're available all day long. And that's these little pastries. One's raspberry. One is a hazelnut. The hazelnut has some candied bacon dribbled on top of it, and it's worth it just for the candied bacon, but they're pretty darn good.
Awesome.
I think they're supposed to be like the toaster strudel. Is that what you were thinking?
Similar. They went out. If you watch any of the videos or live streams that we did, the chefs went out of their way to say that they are not, you know, they're handmade. They make them on site. There were some people early on that said they look like Pop-Tarts. They're not. They're shaped different. So they're not opening a box and selling you a Pop-Tart. This is something different. It was good.
Which, if you think those are Pop-Tarts, you can just tell by the picture. They're definitely going to be better.
Yeah. In my opinion, the raspberry one was a little too sweet, but the kids loved it. They were good.
That's all that counts.
That's exactly all that counts. And Toy Story Land is a great addition to Hollywood Studios. Someday we'll go back and compare concept art to what they originally said we were getting and what we did get. It'll be interesting to see where things go from here, and obviously all eyes now are on Galaxy's Edge.
Well, I tell you what, on social media, there are two things that are standing out with Toy Story Land. And one is that alien cup. Everybody's taking their picture, we're drinking the drink, taking picture of the kids enjoying the cup. The other thing is the popsicle wall. We have a new wall to take pictures in front of people.
Is it the popsicle wall or is it the block wall?
Popsicle wall is the big one.
Okay.
And it's
I did the block wall.
It's made of like used popsicle sticks. You had a picture of a bench earlier that had them. It looks like popsicle sticks, and the ends are kind of stained different colors than what the popsicle was.
Yes. Yeah.
Which I believe it's when you walk out of Toy Story Mania, the path that you take to get back to the main part. So yeah, the bench, there was a wall. That is the new hashtag wall. You know, it's going to compete with the purple wall, I think.
Okay.
Well, the purple wall. So yesterday, the bubblegum wall is.
Bubblegum wall is now yesterday. It's all about the popsicle wall.
And also,
if they were smart, they'd be selling popsicles for people to take pictures with popsicles in front of the popsicle wall.
Yeah, they'll get there. Just like being able to buy the lunchbox. It'll come.
Right. Just like being able to buy the purple drink to take a picture in front
of I was going to until I saw what it was, and I'm like, no, it doesn't sound good.
For those that don't know, they have an actual drink now near wherever the one wall is that is named after the wall. Morgan and I were making fun of it because she said she wanted to get one, and I was like talking about it.
It's at what used to be the noodle station where the fireworks viewing area in Magic Kingdom is where they sell the drink, and right there on that walkway going into Tomorrowland is where the wall is.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I'll still get the drink and do the picture just for the sake of doing it.
What is the drink? You said it didn't sound good, Sam.
I don't have what's in the drink handy.
It sound appetizing.
It did not. It was like one of those things where, no.
It wasn't meant to taste good. It was meant to look good.
It's meant to take a picture in front of the damn purple walls. You got to give
it Yeah. And I'm sure it did great at that.
It's all marketing, man. They got the purple wall hat.
And there was even a purple wall magic band. They were getting their money's worth out of that purple wall, man.
Now, I tell you what, there are more walls at Walt Disney World. I found an article before we went. There's nine different. There are nine
are
different.
There? There's more walls?
There are nine different photographic Snapchat walls, I guess you're going to call them. And there is really one good one, Spaceship Earth. As you're walking past the exits, the Spaceship Earth on either side, there's some really, really cool colors there, too.
That's the bubblegum wall.
I'm sorry?
That one's called the one on the by the art store. There's a exit or something right there. There's a doorway with a little – and that one's called the bubblegum wall.
Yeah, there you go.
And by the way, I have found what the purple wall drink is.
Okay, tell me.
Okay, it is a taro tea with tapioca boba pearls and topped with whipped cream and purple sprinkles.
Yeah.
You don't like bubble tea?
No, what's the purple, though? Is that grape? I don't know. I just...
Taro is what's purple, which taro is more popular in, like, Hawaiian cuisine, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, it's the root.
Yeah.
Poi. Isn't poi made out of taro root, perhaps?
Maybe.
So that when we did, Ed, when you and I walked through, we talked about the popsicle sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, there's one thing they dropped. Ask me about it later. So now it's later. When I was a kid and I had popsicle sticks, there was always a joke on the back of it.
Right.
Remember the corny little joke?
Sure.
The first thing I did is look behind it and there's no joke. I thought, man, come on, man.
Missed it.
Yeah, well.
But hey, it is what it is.
Yep.
Hey. Andy's mom had a coupon for the store brand popsicles that did not come with the joke.
Yes, that's exactly it.
And that's why Andy's popsicles did not have the joke. You know, Andy's mom has to cut some corners. She's raising two kids. Cut her some slack.
You're right. I'm with you, Morgan. I get it. There's the cootie wall that's on the side of the restrooms.
Cooties.
Nice.
I'm just going to laugh every time.
You don't hang out with girls. They give you cooties.
Yeah, and the more you look around, the more you find Green Army men looking for Andy.
Oh, yeah, I noticed one on top of the alien spinner ride. There's a guy up top there with his binoculars looking for him.
And I think it's fair to say that at night, it's awesome. The lighting package is
incredible. I got to say, it looks incredible. The day you were there, Sam, later that night, Jennifer was there and did a quick live stream or video that she did.
It's cool.
And I'm like, holy cow. Yeah, I expected it to be pretty cool at night. It's like a different place.
Yeah, the lighting package is really neat.
It's kind of like Pandora. Pandora's that way. You know, at night, it's almost like you're in a different, completely different different place.
Yep.
I definitely cannot wait to get to spend some quality time at night, me, my camera, and get some awesome nighttime shots.
Jimmy, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, you guys can be there, too. I just want me and my camera getting those long exposures. Maybe, you know, if you want to go get me a drink while I'm doing the things, you know, go get, you know, me some tachos, you know, I won't complain.
Whatever you need, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, team effort here, guys.
Whatever you need, I'm there for you.
Oh, no doubt. And I tell you what, this whole Toy Story opening was an incredible team experience, guys. We had the best time covering this opening, and I really can't wait for Star Wars. I hope the same exact thing happens. So that's it for show number 244, the introduction and our experiences at Toy Story Land down in Hollywood Studios down in Florida. We want to hear what you think. Have you gotten down to the parks and experienced this yet? Are you going soon? Let us know what you think about this. Is it a hit, or is it just another thing to waste your time? We want to know what you think. Jimmy, tell our friends how to get in touch with the show.
You can email us at questions at thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds, Instagram at The Disney Nerds Podcast, and Twitter at The Disney Nerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
For Jimmy, Sam, and Morgan, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Quaharini.
Kongaloosh.
Hakuna Matata.
Sivoko. Sivoko.
Sivoko? What See the hell later. Is that?
No, that's on that's what you scream on
Sivoko!
Sivoko!
Oh. Here, look this one.